All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Traffic and Safety Committee meeting on November 20th, 2024. Why don't we call the roll, Jack?
Yep. Chairman Reese?
Here.
Chairman Reese?
Here.
Commissioner Chase?
Not here. Commissioner Gillis?
Here.
Here.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Here.
Commissioner Jayaraman? Nope. Commissioner Carroll?
Here.
And Commissioner Osga.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great. Any comments on the minutes from September 18, 2024?
I have one.
Go ahead, Rick.
Hold on a minute. I just lost it. It is.
I commented on that to Kim.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Yes. Second page, just a minor detail, but it says Commissioner feels a two-hour parking will not resolve parking problems. He likes Rick's idea. Maybe you should say Commissioner Gillis, just so it's clear. Okay. I know we're friendly here, but
I did laugh at that.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay.
Right. With that change, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Are these the minutes for
yep.
the last time? Great. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. So we have time for, we'll take some public comment. And then we also have, I think, Sean Herring's on Zoom. And it looks like Julie Sharafa. Is that how you say your name, Julie Sharafa?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. You're muted, but that's fine. We'll come back to you in a minute.
Okay.
So it looks like, are you Jason? All right. We have one gentleman here in the room. So, Jason, why don't you go ahead and take the lectern, if you don't mind, and just give us your name, address, and I think. You know, we have an idea. We've got some of your materials, but go ahead and tell us what you want to tell us.
Yep. My name is Jason Epping. I reside in nearby Oak Park.
Oh, do you mind just hitting the button there?
That way it's recorded.
Testing.
Yep, perfect.
My name is Jason Epping. I reside in nearby Oak Park. And I'm just going to read my statement here. Good evening to the staff and committee members. Thank you for all the work you do and for granting me some of your attention tonight. My name is Jason Epping. I moved to Chicagoland at the end of the summer to take a professorship at nearby Elmhurst University. I regularly travel on Franklin Avenue, where I encounter the traffic signal at Washington Boulevard. Every time I encounter a red light there, I wait for a surprisingly long amount of time for the light to turn green. At least twice, impatient motorists have sped around me. One even ran the red light. Flummoxed and frustrated, I reached out to Director Bialik, whose prompt replies helped me quickly identify the problem. The traffic signal is triggered by an induction loop that was not designed to detect bicycles. He informed me that instead, cyclists are expected to press the pedestrian beg button to receive a green light. Unfortunately, this expectation is not communicated anywhere at the intersection, so cyclists like myself are left to wait and wonder until the driver of a motor vehicle comes along to trigger the induction loop. Additionally, this button is more than 20 feet past the stop bar, and such a mode shift from road user to sidewalk user is awkward, unintuitive, and creates possibilities for conflict, either on the approach to the sidewalk or when returning from the sidewalk to the crosswalk, back into the road. I have three photographs as figures, if those didn't make it to the notes. Can I pass these out? Yeah,
sure.
Can you pass these around?
Yeah, thank you.
These just document the intersection and the specific issues. So, even properly signed, expecting cyclists to go out of their way like this to be accommodated by the traffic signaling demotes them to second-class road users. If Franklin Avenue is indeed a bike route, as the signs along Madison Street indicate, I find it highly unusual that cyclists are not accommodated by its traffic signals. Mr. Bialik has informed me that the village is beginning a reevaluation of Washington Boulevard that will include bike lanes and improve signals and crossings. This is excellent news. As you develop this plan, I ask that you keep my story in mind. Specifically, I would like to make two recommendations about how the village can help make this and similar intersections work for all road users. First, as a short-term solution, I would request that signs directed at and visible to road users be installed at intersections, informing cyclists when they are expected to press the beg button in order to cross. I hope you find it unreasonable that the current reality requires road users on bicycles to just somehow know which signaled intersections accommodate them and which ones don't. In the long term, I would request that induction loops be retooled to detect all road users or that alternative sensors be installed in their place. I realize this is possibly an expensive and or long-term project, but I believe it's important to treat all road users equally, and I hope you do too. If either of these requests is an appropriate project for the committee's petitioning process, please let me know, and I will begin work on it promptly. I will be here after the meeting and will be very happy to discuss this issue and my recommendations further. My email address is jason.epink@gmail.com, and my phone number is 310-804-7072. Thank you for your time and attention.
I'm going to make one statement. As a, well, scooter driver, not necessarily a motorcycle.
This is even bicycle.
No, I know, okay. but it's the same because I looked it up today. So in the back of my mind, I remember, because motorcycles don't trigger that, you know, the induction loop as well. So state law does allow a motorcycle after 2 minutes, 120 seconds to go through a red light. That's legal. And it's the exact same for bicycles as well. So you can go through that red light legally after 2 minutes. Yeah.
Thank
Secretary
you.
Of State's a great resource for that piece of information.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. I'm new here, so I'm still learning the vehicle traffic.
Yeah, that's a
LA phone number.
It is LA, but I'm recently from New York.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. But good. Good.
We'll have to get the whole story later.
Thank you.
Yeah. Secretary of State's. After 2 minutes, a motorcycle or a bicycle can go through a red light.
I will say Bill mentioned that to me after. As we know, Bill rides a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So Bill is very much aware of that law.
And that particular intersection is bad. I mean, even for a car, it seems like you wait forever to, like, I always avoid it when I'm heading north.
So, Jason, one of the things that you're saying is that while there is this signage that's more friendly to pedestrians, it's harder for a cyclist to see this signage and use it. Is that part of the problem?
Yeah, it's twofold. First of all, the signage is far away. It's not turned towards the road. And also, it does not address cyclists at all. I know that in Illinois, cyclists can use a sidewalk as long as it's not a business district. And so in that intersection, cyclists are allowed to use to cycle on the road, on the sidewalk. But for someone who is cycling on the road, it is not apparent in any way that that beg button is for the cyclist.
Okay.
And additionally, like, as I said, I believe it also demotes cyclists to second class, you know, road users if induction loop's not working for them.
And Jason, it sounds like you might have mentioned that, did Jack mention to you, or you became aware that we are looking at the whole Washington corridor? I think you mentioned that in your remarks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, this is a good thing to raise. And great. I think I mentioned to Jack before the meeting that I think there's also maybe a separate issue where when that light changes, it's pretty short. So if you, and you live down there, John, I think if there are kids, young kids that are trying to cross that intersection, either walking or on their bikes, it's a pretty short time for them to get across before I think the light changes again. So when we consider that as part of the bigger Washington corridor, it would seem that it's fair to kind of consider these issues.
I agree. Sounds like I caught you at the right time, and that's great.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you.
Okay. Sean Herring, why don't we go to you, Sean? I know you had before, I think, presented the request for a stop sign at Iowa and Monroe's, stopping north-south traffic. And I think probably after that first meeting, maybe we asked you to get a petition. I can't remember. I lost track of some of the detail. But Sean, if you can hear us, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you'd like to tell us?
Sure. So thanks, everyone, for your time and attention this evening. When I was there last, the discussion was that you would install traffic safety device to obtain some data on the speeds in that intersection, the volume of traffic, and review some accident reports. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend the last meeting. I received an email from Bill saying that there was a traffic speed and volume study performed at that intersection, and that you guys had reviewed accident data. I live right there. I've never seen, and maybe I don't know what to look for, but I've never seen any traffic safety devices that you typically see. They're usually pretty visible. So then I'm not saying it didn't get done. I just hadn't seen it. And I haven't seen the data that you all received and viewed, nor the accident reports. So I'm wondering if there's a way for me to at least view that and I'd be in a better position to address what you guys have looked at. But I just haven't seen that. And I tried to go on the website and see if there's a way to get it. I don't know if that's a FOIA request that I need to put in or if that's some information that you all would voluntarily share. But the request that I'm making is that I be able to obtain that information and review it. And then we can have at least I can have a better discussion on, you know, next steps and what the request is.
Okay. Sean, why don't I think one, Jack, I think we'd ask Jack to describe the method of collecting data. I think we could also have Jack give you the summary of the data. And I think we could
the summary in the agenda. Yeah, on the
we can go through all of the items, I guess, that were mentioned by Mr. Herring.
Yeah. And so the data is in the agenda. And is that agenda now available?
It has been
online?
Available.
Okay. So Sean, the agenda materials are online. So I think you should be able to get that data on the Village website now, right?
Yes. And okay. Let me.
But Sean, why don't you go ahead and give kind of a summary?
You know what, Sean, quickly while we're talking, I'm going to drop the link to it in the chat for you so you can quickly pull that up for yourself. So as we're talking about stuff, you can go see it. But first, one of the items you brought up initially was the methodology for the collection of data. One of the things that we wanted to be sure initially when the Village purchased its data collection device was that it was very small and not visible to average drivers. It's a very small device, you know, probably, you know, it could fit in your hand. It's easily movable. But the reason for that is so that drivers don't see it, so that we observe conditions as they are without drawing attention to it, because we want to collect real data. We don't want all of a sudden people to see the device, slow down, or change the way they react. So we wanted it to be, you know, something that's really, I would say, covert. But really to capture the data as it sits. So that's the first thing. It was out there for 2 weeks. And as part of the agenda, let me try to see what page it's on for you. Just so as we're talking, 41? PDF page 21 is the merged data. So it provides all the information regarding the 2 week period where this information was collected. Let me know when you get to it so that I can sort of run through. Are you at it?
Yes. Thank you.
Yep. So for this one, as you can see, it was generated on 9/4. The collection report was 8/15 through 8/29. And one of the items that we looked at as a commission was the crash history, the vehicle speed, vehicle volume, and then also pedestrian generators, bike routes, and community interest, which your petition is part of community interest. In terms of crash history, I did reach out to the police department to receive the crash data over the last 5 years. That is also included in the packet as item on page 25. I highlighted the two accidents that would, I guess, trigger or be counted as part of, you know, accidents that are, you know, something traffic related or something that would be to that effect. In terms of vehicle speed, if we go back to page 21 and looked at the merge data. So what we're interested with the actual speed is the 85th percentile speed. So that's the speed we're looking at. That's generally what's used for traffic data collection. And it was recorded at 30 miles per hour. The speed limit there is 25. So it's 5 over. So that does, I guess, go into our evaluation of how many points to provide that. In terms of vehicle volume, this is a merged data set, which means it's tracking information in both directions. The ADT for this one is 1,045. That also fits into our table, which I will go to next. So here is the actual traffic data that was collected over that time period. Now I want to move to the scoring sheet that sort of guides the review or the decision making. So when you look at crash history, as I mentioned to you, two crashes were related to the actual, you know, traffic flow over there. So between one to three crashes is over a 5-year period, 5 points. So listed that as 5 points. When we look at vehicle speed, as I mentioned to you, it's 5 miles per hour over the 85th percentile speed. So I gave it a 7.5, doing some, you know, just trying to give you as many points as possible. Yeah. In terms of ADT, as mentioned, the ADT was 1,045 for merge, so both directions. So that turns to 5 points as well. In terms of pedestrian traffic generators, any school or park 1 to 2 blocks, there is a school. I gave it 2 blocks away, so I gave it the 5 points. And then bike routes, non-bike routes, this is technically identified in our master bike plan as a bike route, assigned bike route, not a striped one. So I gave that one 5 points for that. And then additionally, in terms of community interest at the bottom, I did give it 75%. So I gave it the 5 points based on the petition.
Isn't it 10 points?
We, yeah, 75. That one is the gray area. We could give it 10 points because it's 75% plus.
Right. Wasn't the petition 80 something percent?
82%.
Oh, was it? So, okay. So 10 points.
But I
okay.
gave it 5 points too. So I'm trying to figure out why.
Okay. Well, and that, so that even when we do that, so when you look at the scoring sheet, when we look at the total, so including 10 points for the local petition, that brings us up to 37.5. So then we go to the actual, I guess, categories of change or what we were looking to do. This of 37.5 still keeps us in a level one, which this does not necessarily precipitate a needed change at this time. Level two would, as you can see, locations with minor speed and safety problems, but no new physical barriers or changes or traffic controls. Level three is a significant one, and level four is obviously in need of substantial improvement. So I sort of stole the thunder here too.
Well, let me just say, Sean, that I think not too long before you came to the commission, the village had commissioned an additional study by Thomas Engineering. They did a major village-wide study. And as part of that, over the years in the commission, we've been trying to use various traffic standards to look to whether stop signs are justified or other calming devices are justified. And as a result of this village-wide study, we came up with, what's, I think, fairly commonly used around the country, the scoring matrix that Jack went over, where you basically assign objective points to certain criteria. And then we have separately what's called an improvement matrix, where Jack described, based on the number of points, the points will either register as level one, level two, level three, level four. And with the higher the level, the more aggressive calming devices are justified. And so it looks like even with basically level one is 25 to 39 points, where it's generally no traffic flow changes. And so, there may be things like signage or other things that would be justified, but generally not like stop signs wouldn't, things like that would not be justified at level one. And so initially, I think we calculated yours at 32.5, which is right in the middle of level one. We talked about even if we were to add 5 points based on the petition, you'd be up to 37.5. It would be at the higher level of level one, but you would still be at level one. And, just so you know, like a stop sign is usually requires level three, which is 60 to 79 points. Go ahead, Kim.
My only comment I have is the data was taken from mid-August to the end of August when school is not in session. So I don't know if that would or if you think residents think that there is significantly more traffic while school is in session versus when school is not in session. I mean, the important, if it's borderline at 37.5 and potentially school in session would create more traffic, then we might be able to justify looking at level two, but a stop sign is level three and that is 60 points. So we wouldn't get to 60 points. I don't know if that's a factor. I would think because it's so close to the schools and schools are not in session that that actually would change the traffic data slightly.
So maybe, I mean, so I guess what we could do, we could go out and gather and garner more traffic data, I guess, but also to your point about where the points would work out, the accident history wouldn't change because I'm not aware of any, you know, accidents or anything that's happened there. There may be slight adjustments in the other places, and I think that would get us maybe to a level two. But yeah, I don't think it would justify the stop sign, which is what the request was here.
And I know, Jack, that you had also included in the packet some the current maps with the current stop signs. I think there's also been an effort. You know, we're not perfect, but we've generally tried to space out the stop signs. And so they're going north-south. I think we try to generally have them every other block. And so basically here now, there's a request for a stop sign in an area where at least under the objective data, it's not justified. And so then I guess the question would be, you know, I guess for us to make an exception, we'd have to have a very, you know, strong reason, at least my view. And at least, you know, based on all of the information, I'm just not seeing a justification for a stop sign in that area. But it may be, Sean, and I don't want to cut off any discussion here, but I know we're hitting you with a lot of this information just now. And so, you know, I think we could either take action on this tonight or we could table it again and give you a chance to review the data and, you know, we could address it again at a further meeting. You know, I personally am not sure that it is worth, I'm not opposed necessarily collecting more data. We have the material machine to do it, but I do expect that even if we were to show a huge increase, you know, a big increase in volume, you know, we would still be within the level two area, which is things like, you know, wouldn't get to a stop sign justification. So, but want to find out if other people on the commission have questions or comments.
I have a general comment, which is that while I understand the usefulness of the scoring system, particularly as we get into more expensive and more potentially disruptive issues or additions or changes, I feel like for something like a stop sign, which is a, call it a hyper local traffic control device, right? It doesn't really affect people outside of the sort of immediate neighbors, because there are lots of other streets that you can take sort of through River Forest that don't necessarily have a lot of stop signs. I'm strongly inclined to let the, you know, petition of the neighbors kind of carry the day, partly because, you know, I feel like as somebody who lives on the corner of a street that got a stop sign, you know, five years ago, it was largely because the community said they wanted it. And I don't know if the data would have supported it at that time or not. But I think that in general, if the residents in the surrounding couple of blocks want the stop sign, you know, I don't think there's a ton of downside to putting in the stop sign other than philosophically breaking with the scoring system, which, again, I think it's reasonable to break with that system when we're talking about a low impact, low expense thing like a stop sign. That would be my view.
Any other comments?
Well, do we want to discuss any other measures, or are we only discussing stop sign versus no stop sign?
I mean,
that's what I was going to ask too. If there's a thank you for you all's comments, and I'm in agreement with the gentleman with the vest, and also appreciate the woman's comment. I'm sorry, I don't know you all's names. I can just see you here. in terms of getting more data. I think that's a great point. But I do, I did want to ask, obviously I'm not as familiar with the procedures here, but what are the alternatives to a stop sign in terms of trying to get, because you do, even though it hasn't met the threshold, this numeric threshold that you have in this sort of scorecard here, there are some, there should be some concern that, you know, that it's not perfect, right? Like it is at a level one, and perhaps if you collect more data, it may be at a level two. So I don't know what other alternative measures you all have implemented short of a stop sign that could help slow some of the traffic. I mean, I think you do see two accidents that have occurred in this one particular, you know, area. I don't know the data from all areas in River Forest, but, you know, you typically don't see accidents on residential streets, and to have more than one within the last 5 years, I think, in addition to these other speeding issues you've seen, and the community's overwhelming requests for it via the petitions, I think that, you know, it warrants to take a closer look.
So one thing that I'd like to go over, just in my experience with, I guess, traffic and engineering, and when you're looking at the planning of an entire of a village, or even when it comes to developments or subdivisions or different things like that, I do want to mention, you know, yes, we had this traffic study that was done by Thomas. I do want to make sure that everyone's aware, you know, some of the components that they came up with is not something that Thomas, you know, created in a vacuum. That's something they thought of, you know, in terms of the warrants for a stop sign. These are Federal Highway Administration manual on uniform traffic control devices. These are federally accepted laws, practices provided to state agencies, county agencies, local agencies on how to guide the flow of traffic. Because one thing that I do want to, I guess, caution everyone is if in fact the decision is, okay, we put up stop signs where requested or where wanted, and we end up in a situation where we have stop signs on every corner, you do unfortunately have situations where they no longer are followed because of what they do, because they're no longer just regulating traffic. It's just a matter of stop, 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 stop. And you get frustrated drivers. You see different activities from those drivers. And that's partially why, you know, when you look at especially the newest manual on uniform traffic control devices, they actually talk about, you know, major roads versus minor roads and what the different qualifications are for the major road being stopped compared to the minor road being stopped. In this particular situation, you know, one of the things also, because I know now we're discussing, if it's not a stop sign, what are we talking about? Stop signs do not reduce speed. Inherently, you think that they reduce speed because, you know, someone's supposed to come to a stop. But when that person has to stop every so often, they actually oftentimes, data has proven, studies have shown that those drivers then try to make up the time in between and start speeding up to try to hurry up and catch up. In this situation, based on the data that we've collected, we actually show an 85th percentile speed, which is, I don't want to say it's only 5 miles per hour over, but it's 5 miles per hour over. It's not that we're seeing excessive speeding. So I just wanted to go over a little of that, because I will say in my career, stop signs have come up a lot. Stop signs are very much oftentimes something that's brought up by many people. I would say that having rules and guidelines is important, because if not, you could end up in a situation where, I guess, holistically, it doesn't work. Like, I understand, like, you could have neighborhoods in different sections, but you're looking at how does a car flow from A to B throughout the town or throughout the village. So
I guess, Sean, too, looking at the petition, or maybe there are other materials that I don't recall, but I think this kind of gets to the point of what is it that you and your neighbors are trying to address? Is it, you know, controlling for volume? Is it controlling for speed? Is it clarifying, you know, right of way or signage? So in terms of some of the other, you know, items out there, you know, the, often in the lower level and like level one, you know, signage changes, crosswalk changes, there are other things that are sort of more appropriate at that level. And so I guess what I am sort of, what I perceive, and we haven't taken a vote here, but, and I appreciate you know, what Dave said. So by the way, it was Kim Hoyt and Dave Caro, K-A-R-R-O-W and Kim Hoyt.
Thank you.
So, you know, we can, my suggestion would be that we probably ought to take a vote at the commission level as to the request for a stop sign, or there could be a decision to table it to a future meeting. But, and then I don't know if we're prepared tonight or Sean, if it would be up to you and your neighbors to let us know if, for example, the request for a stop sign fails at this commission, would there be, you know, other, you know, measures that you think, you know, you would want to pursue based on this being a level one, high level one, or maybe even a level two category. And if people will decide they want to collect more data while school's in, you know, I'm not against that, but so I guess I just want to hear from the commission about how people feel like they'd like to proceed on this request.
Well, for me, is that on? Yeah. You know, we were,
that's Rick Gillis. This is Rick Gillis.
Rick Gillis. We worked very hard on the safe routes to school, and just looking at that, which is on page 11, you know, you've got a four-way up at Augusta. You've got a stop down here at Chicago. Basically, you'd just be putting another four-way stop, you know, one block away. And, you know, we put a lot of thought into this whole safe routes. You know, I could see putting it in, but, you know, I don't think it's really necessary based on the data that we're seeing right now. And you know, suddenly we would be putting in too many of these four ways throughout the town here. And again, the speeding, we're not seeing a lot of speeding going on. Yeah, you can see. I'll go up one more page. There we go. So you can see on Augusta, well, here, up at Augusta, you've got your four-way stop here. And then at Chicago, you've got your stop. So it's only a two-block route where people can start to gain some speed, which it's not clear they're speeding that much. They're just about 5 miles an hour over. So anyways, you know, I would be inclined to say no to putting in a stop sign.
I'll just agree with what everybody said. I agree. Maybe people are back from vacation after August and there's more residents driving through the neighborhood. Perhaps the data would be different. But I'm not inclined to think that I want to overrule the study that we worked so hard on a few years ago on the safe route to school. I would not be inclined to add another stop sign to the village, especially in that area. However, I completely agree with Jack in that we've seen it throughout this village as well, that the more stop signs, the faster the people go to get to a stop sign, and then they barely stop at all because they're sick of stop signs. But in this case, it is a safe route to school. Simply voting on the stop sign itself, I don't think we'd get to the point where that would pass. But if we could make a recommendation as a commission to perhaps, and I don't know what the signage is there. I've asked this at previous meetings, you know, what is the speed limit? And we know it's 25. Is there a speed limit sign going north from Chicago and going south from Augusta? And could we put up, you know, because it is within two blocks of a school, I think a lot of areas of River Forest are within two or three blocks of a school. In this particular situation, should we install. And again, more signage is more confusing, but as a measure, you know, people, they do see stop signs. They just don't listen to them. But if they see a pedestrian sign or a children crossing sign or safe route to school, the yellow sign, would they in fact slow down? One other point I wanted to make was that, you know, people see an intersection. People look out their windows and they see an intersection and they automatically think a car should be stopping there for some reason. I don't know why, but for some reason, I even do it. I see an intersection. I'm like, you know, and sometimes cars go through and then you realize there's no stop sign there. They can drive through because maybe it's an open intersections like we used to have in River Forest. I don't think we have any of those anymore. Or the other direction is regulated with a stop sign. So, I mean, I think that psychology is evident as well in that some people look and they're like, wow, you know, they just ran through that intersection when in fact, maybe they're going 25 miles an hour legally through an intersection or in this, you know, the 85 percentile is 30. So I think that's slightly relevant as well in just the psychology of looking at the intersection. So then again, I'm just going to say I'm not inclined to install another stop sign in the village or in that area of the village on Iowa and Monroe to supersede the study that we did. But if we can come up with, and we do, you know, that's kind of our job. If we can come up with a recommendation for maybe a calming measure with the use of a yellow pedestrian or children crossing sign or something like that, I may be inclined to vote for that. But at this point, I'm not interested in a stop sign.
And I did just look on Google Maps and there does not appear to be a stop sign, or I'm sorry, a speed limit sign either direction on that 2-block stretch. So maybe that is something we consider putting in.
I would consider that. I think Pete, whether you're a resident or not, knowing the speed limit, I think I mentioned this at a previous meeting, you know, coming off North Avenue on one of those streets, there's no speed limit sign. So people come into the village and they, well, I don't know how fast I can go. So I'm going to go until I hit an intersection with a stop sign. So yeah, knowledge is power, right, Jack? So perhaps we do something like that. And that's, I'll say.
Any other comments? Is there interest in, I'd suggest that maybe we consider, I don't know if it's a motion, but what I would propose is that we take a vote on the request for a stop sign. My request or my motion, I guess, would be to move to deny the request for a stop sign, but to add speed limit signs, both north and southbound, to alert people to the speed. At least do that as an initial action. And then Sean, if you and your neighbors, you know, in light of, you know, your awareness of this data, if you want us to collect more data, I guess we could do that. And if you want to, you know, based on that, consider whether there should be other actions beyond a speed limit sign, you know, we would consider that, you know, not to make you keep coming back, but, or even tonight, if you think there's some, if a speed limit sign isn't an adequate first step, if you have something else in mind, I think, you know, the challenge is knowing exactly what problem we're trying to solve for, I think.
Yeah. And if, I think that the challenge we're trying to solve for is the speed, right? And so, you know, I respect the data, I respect the analysis and all of the work that goes into reviewing this. And, you know, there's methodology. I respect that as well. Having said that, I know from being here for 4 years that there's still a problem, right? And so if there are alternatives to a stop sign that could help with the speed, because that's the issue is the speed. And it was our thought and we're not experts in this area, that if you put a stop sign, people are going to go slower, right? And maybe that's not the case. But if we can put something there to help with the challenge of the speeding, and maybe it's a matter of awareness with the speed limit. I've also seen people know that that doesn't matter, because the majority, I think, of the traffic, it's routine traffic. People who live in this area, who people know that they can go from Lake Street all the way to North Avenue, pretty, you know, regular routine drivers in this neighborhood. Maybe they don't know the speed limit. That would be helpful. If there's another alternative in addition to that, I know you had mentioned a sign that said children crossing. Maybe that would be helpful too. I don't know if the commission has any other alternatives. I mean, you all have, you know, seen these things happen for some time now, and I appreciate those suggestions. I don't know if you want to take more time to think about any other alternatives or not, that could be worth it. In addition to getting more information and not to overturn your decision to decline the request for a stop sign, but just to understand, you know, the traffic levels. And if it gets to a level two, maybe we need more than just speed limits signs put up. So I think it would be worth getting more data to determine if we're going to get to another level, and determine if there's more things you need to do to address the traffic and the speed.
So, Jack, would it be maybe, you know, we have obviously some holidays coming up, but it would seem that given that this was collected in the summer, it might make sense to go ahead and collect some data when school's in session, whether that's in December before the Christmas holiday, or I don't know if you wait till January. I defer to Public Works on when that would be done, but is there any objection on the, I don't hear any objection.
We're now using our own tool, so it's not like we have to pay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sean, the village did buy the equipment that Jack talked about. The village did invest in the equipment that he mentioned that allows us to collect data a little bit easier. So we could collect additional data. So it sounds like, as part of our recommendation, we'd still need to take a vote, but let's assume we for now deny the stop sign. It's not like we couldn't come back and revisit it another day, or if the data changes, or if the circumstances change. Because I think we all recognize, as David said, you know, we try to use the data as a guide. And, you know, it's not like we have to be wedded to it completely, but we want to have a good reason, I think, at least I feel, to depart from the standards and the recommended warrants. But in the meantime, it would seem like tonight, if we deny a stop sign, we could at least propose installation of a speed limit sign and collect additional data. And if based on that additional data, there's reason to consider some additional signage or additional measures, you know, we could consider that at a future meeting. And probably, Sean, we could do that in a vacuum, but based on your seeing that data and your neighbors and looking at this matrix, you might see that there's some other suggestions that you all might have too.
Yes, I agree. I would be in favor of that, following that.
Well, why don't I'm going to make a motion that we deny the request for the stop sign on Iowa and Monroe, but that we do ask Public Works to install a speed limit sign both northbound and southbound at appropriate locations in that two-block area, and that we collect additional speed and volume data, and I guess, crash data, or at least update the crash data, to see if that changes anything, and make sure that we collect the data during a 2-week period when school is in session. That's my motion.
Sorry, could I, at the risk of,
yeah, no, please.
At the risk,
please,
of being pedantic, could we split that into two motions, sure, so that I can vote for the stop sign, but also for everything else?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Thanks.
And also, I want to add something as well. Looking at this map here, I've always been a huge fan of these brightly painted crosswalks, and looking at the safe, what?
I was going to say the same thing with crosswalk, like having brightly painted crosswalks there will help.
So on the page Safe Walk to School, we have, now you got me, Jack. We have a crosswalk at Jackson going east-west.
Well, can you see on the Google Maps?
Iowa. So I'm wondering at Iowa and Monroe, since the arrows for Safe Routes to School are going east-west, and we're talking about north-south stop signs, I'm wondering if we couldn't add that to the list of our painters in the spring, if we couldn't recommend that we put one of those.
Can you tell from Google Maps if there's clear crosswalks?
Yeah, they're not called crosswalks high on Monroe.
So there's standard crosswalks and there's high visibility crosswalks. I believe there's a standard crosswalk on Jackson. I don't know if there's any crosswalk on Iowa and Monroe. So with the addition to the speed limit signs that we're going to talk about, I would also suggest that we do a standard crosswalk or a high visibility crosswalk, whatever we decide we want to do, but something is better than nothing going east-west on Iowa, because cars see that as well. Maybe they'll see the stop sign or the speed limit sign and give a hoot. But then seeing that crosswalk lit up like that may help as well. And I think that's two things in addition to data, but two things that we can do soon that may alleviate some of the speeding down Monroe.
So in terms of the actual striping, I would agree that the Safe Routes to School has Iowa identified on, north-south, either direction along the stop. Based on Google Street View, it does not show them striped. I will check to make sure that they are or they are not. If they are not, I would agree that it's already been identified in our Safe Routes to School. So that is something we could look at doing as part of our thermoplastic program for next year, just striping it as identified in the Safe Routes to School, here.
That's identified as north-south. Right?
But I think it still brings visibility to the intersection.
I agree.
So I think just doing that brings visibility to the intersection, and it's already identified in our plan.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it just gives you a visual that it's there,
right?
And that, there's something going on.
Okay, so we will most likely be implementing crosswalks. We are going to recommend implementing a speed limit sign and perhaps more data. So that's the three issues in front of us right now. And I don't care what David does with his motion.
Why don't we do two motions? So at least let's do one motion. I'll move to deny the request for a stop sign on Iowa and Monroe to convert that into a four-way.
I'll second that.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a vote on that motion, which is for the stop sign.
Okay. Chairman Reese?
Yes.
For the motion. To deny the stop sign. Right. Commissioner Chase, not here. Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Carroll?
No to the motion.
And Commissioner Osga?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes to deny.
Okay. So would anyone else like to make a motion with respect to the other interim steps that we would like to propose tonight with respect to that area?
Well, I guess I would then make a motion to make sure we implement the suggested crosswalks at Iowa and Monroe, as well as install speed limit signs north and southbound on Monroe between Augusta and Chicago Avenue.
And
collect more data.
During a 2-week period when school's in session.
More than likely, just so everyone's aware, our traffic counter is out right now because I did receive a different inquiry. So I do have it working. And then December is coming around. So you have people out of school and Christmas break. So I'm thinking this won't happen until January.
I think that's probably better. And Sean, I'm assuming you agree that we'd rather collect the data when it's more likely to you get the most traffic.
I'm in agreement with that.
Okay, so that's the motion.
I will second the motion.
That's the motion.
It's a group motion.
It's a group motion, yes.
I will second the group motion.
Okay.
All right. I will.
Okay. Let me. Chairman Reese?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Commissioner Carroll?
Yes.
And Commissioner Osga?
Yes. Okay, so Sean, that motion carries. I don't know, does any of that require any action by the village board? So none of this requires action by the village board, Sean. So you should be seeing at least the speed limit sign. I think the striping for the crosswalk probably won't happen until the spring, because when they do the next round of striping. And then in the meantime, we'll collect some data in January. And then when we collect that data, how does Sean know, or, you know, would he know when that data gets collected? Is there a way to let him know? Or
yeah, I got to send myself a reminder. I won't forget about you, Sean.
So we'll try to make sure that we get you and all of us the updated data. And then I guess, Sean, we'd probably leave it to you if you want to put this back on the agenda, you know, for any additional action based on that data. If you or your neighbors want to tee this up for a future meeting, just let Jack know and we can put it on the agenda to see if we want to address anything else in that area.
That sounds good.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sean. So that's it for that one for this evening, but we can always revisit it as we do. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, everyone, for your time and commitment and really analyzing this and coming up with a alternative solution. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate your interest, Sean. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Okay. Julie Sharafa, is that how you pronounce your name, Julie?
Yes, that is correct, Sharafa.
So we have your request, but why don't you go ahead and if you would like to let us know what you're looking for and then you heard some of the discussion about the how we collect data to measure these kinds of requests, but go ahead with your with what
yes
like
that was know. That was very helpful because I had the same questions that Sean had. I'm like, I don't see anything, but I know they sent an email saying that it's up on the agenda. So our concern obviously is the traffic that comes off of North Avenue heading south onto Franklin, either from North Avenue if traffic is going east or west. There is no turn allowed left or right onto our street, which motorists are pretty often ignoring. Now, they did have an officer come during the summer months, kind of observing maybe a half hour at a time at different times of the day and week. A couple times they did get pulled over, numerous times it was allowed and went right past the squad, nothing was done. One time, which really got me moving on getting something hopefully rectified, was that a car came because a child was crossing the street and there was a screech. Because when the child was crossing the street, there was no car. And then here comes this car turning illegally onto the street. So big concern. I'm a corner townhouse. So I'm like Mrs. Kravitz. I see a lot that goes on. Just, you know, open your windows and your shades and you see everything. So I see it quite often when school is not in session. I work at the school. So bunch of neighbors have witnessed it as well, and we're in favor of doing something, having the petition signed to put, you know, the research of the data and whatnot, because it is a concern. Apparently, before I lived here, it was something that was talked about, but nothing ever, I don't think anyone went the next step to do the signatures or whatever the case may be. But I know this is not a foreign subject to the neighbors who have been here a long time. But I know it's a big concern, even for people parking. You know, the people that live here pretty much abide by it, where we don't turn. So when you come in from Lemoyne, you want to spin your car around. You're really taking a chance because a car can come sailing right down from North Avenue. And we're all put at risk, whether we're walking, driving, kids playing. So we were hoping that something could be done. Preferably the bump out was suggested at one of the meetings. They call it either a pork chop or a bump out, like on Forest Avenue. If that were something that would be allowed so that cars could come off of the streets, but it would slow down, maybe not eliminate, but at least slow down people turning, you know, right or left onto Franklin to head south.
So do you want me to, I can go through.
Yeah. Why don't we ask Jack again? He did collect some data, Julie, and
okay.
When, and I think it is available to you if similarly, if you look on the village website, or if can you see on the screen, I think Jack shared a link to the materials. Are you able
it
to
was
see
there.
That?
I don't see it anymore. I saw it when he first.
Are you able to pull up the, is it in the comments, the chat?
Yeah, it should be in the chat. I'll do it again.
It's in the chat. Oh, I think I see it now. Here I see it.
So that and that's also on the village website, Julie. So
okay.
if after this meeting you want to look at it at your leisure, you can look at that. But why don't we have Jack just give you a summary of what he collected?
Perfect. I would appreciate it.
Okay, perfect. So similar to the other request or other situation, this is a request for traffic calming. This is a request for a situation where, well, actually, this is a different request too, because there's an inquiry of people just not obeying an existing sign. We did put the traffic monitor out there. I do want to go over the exact dates.
43,
page 43. Page 43 on the PDF. Okay. So, and the other part that was important about this evaluation is, as described, it's incoming and outgoing. So just so everyone's aware, based on how we put the traffic monitor up, the incoming would be from the north.
From North Avenue down, then, turning right.
Correct. So, well, coming from the North Avenue side, what I want to caution people of is obviously there are those apartment buildings and there is an alley and potentially a number of driveways. So there are people that are going to get counted as part of this that are just heading south. So as part of the incoming traffic, as we see, the 85th percentile speed is 28 and the ADT was 48. Now, as we, you know, as we just saw from the Iowa Monroe, in terms of what the numbers were, we got up into the 1,000 for a similar time period. Whereas like this one, and I'm going to show you the other way too, but this is 48.
Is AADT, what is AADT?
So average daily traffic, but technically the AA means annual average daily traffic. So this is like really what it would be on an average day within a year. That's what they count it as, but it is ADT.
Average daily
traffic. So 48.
During those 2 weeks, there were 728 cars that
total
went that southbound.
Yep. Okay. Total cars that went southbound. And again, in terms of the 85th percentile speed, 28 miles per hour, the traffic report is from September 23rd through October 8th. That is the 2 week period. So this was the incoming traffic. So now we have the outgoing traffic, which is towards North Avenue. You have an ADT of 134, a total amount of cars. I don't want to say triple, but close to it, 2,000. So 2,000 cars total over that same time period. And the 85th percentile speed is 28 miles per hour. So we're looking at, you know, the speed limit there is 25 miles per hour. So three miles per hour over what, you know, what the speed limit is.
Could I ask a question about the graphs that accompany these?
So I added these graphs because I thought they were a good point to show you what time periods of the day
So why is the baseline two vehicles? Because I don't, so like.
This is just how, this is how the actual system reported it. I don't have control on like manipulating the data.
Okay, so in simpler terms, so if I convey this back, how, what would be the bottom line? Has there been any kind of a decision to move forward to the next step, or is it?
So let me continue in terms of, so this was the traffic data. So we have the 85th percentile speed, and then we have the total ADT. And if you count ADT in both directions, we're looking at like 200 or 100 something. I have it written down. A total ADT of 182. In terms of accidents, I did reach out to the police department to gather that information. A total of 7 accidents occurred over the 5-year period. None of the accidents involved a right turn onto Franklin from North Avenue. 4 occurred that were just directly on North Avenue as a rear end or a sideswipe. And the other 3 were private property, with 1 being a rollout of the driveway to a parked car due to a bad manual transmission. Mm. So that's what I got from directly from the police department. And that's their analysis too. And then if we start going through the our actual toolbox. So in terms of crash history, we're looking at really none of the crashes were due to traffic incidents. So that I provided a score of 0. In terms of vehicle speed, as we saw, the 85th percentile speed was 28 miles per hour, the posted speed limit being 25. So for this, I gave them 4.5 points because it's 3 and not 2 or 4. In terms of ADT, it is below 750. So the vehicle volume actually gives it a 0. In terms of pedestrian traffic generators, it is within, I think, 2 blocks of Willard. So I did give it 5 points for that because it is 2 blocks away from Willard School. It is posted as a bike route. It's not striped as a bike route, but it is posted. So I gave it 5 points for that. And then in terms of the local petition, I did give it the 5 points for that, bringing it to a total of 19.5. And as we discussed earlier, regarding levels, level 1 would be 25 to 39. This, based on what I have here, scored out to be a 19.5.
So Julie, just in simple terms, Jack collected the data based on the speed of the cars, the volume of the cars. When you apply kind of scores to those factors, this area, basically gets a low score, which means that, just at least based on the matrix, it wouldn't justify any kind of extreme calming measures, and really would not justify anything physically blocking traffic, either turning, coming in or out of River Forest there. And, so that's, I think, just to give you the high level summary of what the data show. Go ahead. I see John Osga, Commissioner Osga, I think has something to say.
I just have a question. Looking at the data, are we saying that over a 2-week period, 728 total vehicles went south on Franklin?
Correct.
Correct.
And it's clearly marked no turn.
So,
but some of those may have been people pulling out of driveways on Franklin too.
Okay, so we don't know if 728 cars turned illegally south on Franklin.
Correct, because where we put the traffic monitor. We tried to find an area that's also, I guess, safer from anything on North Avenue, but also making sure we capture data that's clear and not just, you know, people coming in and out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And to get a you want to try to get somewhere not exactly at an intersection, but a little bit back so you get good data of people flowing. So the traffic monitor was right here, meaning you have opportunity for these driveways, for this entire building. Sure. Anyone that's here can potentially come south on Franklin.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. So I would agree that there's not a ton of potential. I mean, if it was 728 cars turning illegally, I would be a little bit amazed that everybody, it almost seems that if you live in River Forest and you need to go down Franklin, you're going to turn south on Franklin.
Conceivable.
Because you're a resident here and you can.
The right turn doesn't apply to you.
Yes, right. Exactly. It does not apply to residents. No offense to the Oak Park guy over there. But
that doesn't seem to make sense. Because I'm telling you, when you sit outside, like on a summer day, I bet in the course of a day, even in an 8-hour period, I could count easily 15 cars on a low day. Easily.
I tend to agree with you, Miss Scraffa. So I'm looking forward to a interesting discussion for the next 2.5 minutes here at the table.
Well, oh, sorry.
David.
At the risk of...
That's Dave Caro, Julie.
Hello. At the risk of bringing up a painful subject, have we thought about installing any temporary... not barricades, but I am wondering, like, could we use bollards for anything over there, or would that not be a good use? Because I know that on Washington, for example, we've put up some temporary bollards which have sort of prevented people from going right. It just as nice little reminders to people to I don't know. I'm trying to think if that might work, or if something short of pouring concrete there might be worth trying. Because even if you had half of that 748 people, right, even if only half of those were illegal right turns off of North, that still seems like something that at least warrants something. Maybe not new construction, but signage or something.
So one thing that I do is, so if the 700 were, you know, 100% all not legal turns off of North Avenue, I would somewhat agree. But the one other caution that I do want to put out there is, in terms of the description of what is happening, you know, some of the comments that we've heard is speeding, you know, different things like that, different types of situations, not just that. Because it is very clearly signed. It is signed no left turn, and it's signed, you know, no right turn from the other direction. So it's very clearly signed not to do it. And I just want to caution that, you know, what we would be talking about is adding a traffic calming measure to a situation that I don't want to say potentially doesn't warrant it, but based on the data, the speed collected, the what's happening, because even when we talk about ADT, I know we're saying, you know, rationally, 700, that's such a big number, but not when we talk about the data and actually where it fits within the matrix. And what I would say is putting a physical barrier would still technically not stop residents who know they can go around that physical barrier.
Well, and we've heard only one side of this argument, just like when we did Bonnie Bray and Clinton.
Yeah, the way to hear the other side shows up,
and right. All of a sudden they're inconvenienced.
Right.
So, and then, you know, then the wrath of God is upon us. I guess I'm more inclined to go with the data on this. That if you're looking for our opinions, the data is low. The data points to what it points to, and the people that started delivering us these matrices and measuring devices have done this a lot longer than I have.
Well, I think to your point about the traffic,
Julie,
I think,
this is Rick Gillis.
Rick Gillis.
Oh yes, hi there, Rick.
Hi. I think what your experience is what they experienced down near Harlem, meaning they're close enough to that Lathrop light when they're heading east. When they see that turn yellow, they turn right. And it's, you know, the first street you really can do it on legally, I think, is Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
And then they head down the
Lathrop. Well, Lathrop is the light.
Yes, it is the light. So yeah. I do believe a lot of that traffic is definitely getting cut through, and you live there and you see it. So it would be interesting to see those counts if we were to put up the Ballard for a period of time. And see, right. I know we're all we have about six of them sitting there in storage, don't we?
We have a lot sitting in storage. Yeah,
I mean it is just such a volatile piece of the neighborhood in terms of, I mean, the traffic patterns there are highly sensitive to any disruption, as we know.
Oh, they are, and I'll tell you, you know, when they were doing some work on Forest, and they thought they were going to lose their pork chop, but I know it's not a pork chop, but whatever it's called. I got phone calls from two people up there like, make sure that doesn't get removed because they love it so much. Because they don't see the traffic coming in because of that pork chop.
You know, one of the comments that a resident made that you emailed, or that Bill emailed around, Carly, said that the bus stop sign on North Avenue hinders vehicles from seeing the sign.
Yeah, so that was in the email.
Yeah, so one question might be if there's something we can do for visibility on that sign, or potentially putting up another sign. I'm dizzy.
I know. I'm trying to find it too.
I think you have to turn around. I think you're facing west.
Going east.
Yeah, heading east.
Yes, the bus. Yeah, we're heading east. That's where.
Yeah, so if you're on North Avenue heading east, yet, yeah, and then turn around. So the bus stop sign obscures the
pace sign there.
Yeah, obscures the no left, no right turn.
Yeah, I'm thinking, do I then?
That pace sign.
Do we know how many signatures as a percentage are on the petition?
So the other part, yeah, that we'll look at in depth too, because from my understanding, the 75% was matched when I spoke with Bill, but between that,
it doesn't include the whole block, or what is the actual in calculating the percentage?
So, and that's the discussion, is you have a lot of them right up top that are just obviously the buildings, the apartment buildings up top. But it does go throughout the block.
Yeah, the rest were homes on the block. And the corridor here of our townhouses that are facing Franklin that see it, because when you're sitting out there, you see it. And it's, I'm telling, I would put a camera on my porch if that helped, where it angled right at North Avenue to show that it's coming from North Avenue, not a driveway. Not somebody pulling out of, you know, there's only one driveway right close to North Avenue where a car would be pulling out of there. So if it was done, like from my house to North Avenue, legitimate, a very fair, almost 100% accuracy.
So is the denominator in the calculation everyone that lives on the 1500 block of Franklin?
So, yes. And it did take into account, you know, the whole block of Franklin, not just obviously the buildings up top.
Right. So 75% includes all the any owner or resident, I should say, from the 1500 block. OK. And they did hit 75%.
They did hit 75.
And the petition was to have, I think, set a bump out, right?
Eliminate turning off of North Avenue by placing bump out. Yeah.
One more thing about the pictures. when you look across the street and Elmwood Park has, you know, do not enter, they have a sign that says, you know, do not enter. Or, I mean, we can see it as you go down. Do we have a sign wrong way? They right there. Do not enter. Do we have a sign here? We don't have that on any of our.
That's a one-way street.
Yeah.
The do not enter signs are one-way streets.
Well, right. Two things.
Right.
Could you put do not enter there? And can you put the words no right turn? I think we've had that on some of our other signs. No right turn at all times or whatever.
I apologize, but I did not think we would go this long. Let me go grab my charger from my laptop because I'm going to need that. I don't want the Zoom to all of a sudden go blank.
You know, can I mention something while Jack's up? Could we make this street one way heading north from right north of that driveway? Because I mean, it would make it very visually apparent that you couldn't turn onto it because you'd be going the wrong way on a one way street. Albeit the one way street would only be, you know, the 60 feet from the edge of the
intersection.
Then
you're violating John's prediction that all of a sudden we're going to get neighbors who flout the rule and think that they're allowed to turn down the street.
But to be fair, though, I feel like that when the neighbors showed up because we put up the barricades on Bonnie Bray, it was because they were legally able to do something and then they were no longer legally able to do it. I sort of feel like if they showed up this time, you know, they'd have to expose themselves of having flaunted the no right turn.
It's a creative idea. I guess my reaction, I'm not saying no on this, but my reaction is that there may be some interim things like do not enter, you know, some signage improvements that we could make as at least an initial step and see if any of that helps.
I would agree with that. And I would also, dollars to donuts. I mean, there's a lot of density right there in those buildings on North Avenue. Without a doubt, or I would make a wager that most of the people that turn south onto Franklin reside in those apartment buildings. Because it's easy to get to your unit, convenient rather than going all the way around the block to come all the way back to North Avenue.
What do you think of that, Julie?
To park behind your building.
I strongly disagree because those people, they park in the main yard. There's a parking lot that's behind those buildings, and the people that live on Franklin but in those tall buildings, there's one driveway. He's the only car that comes in. And half the time, the one car does come in off of North Avenue, but the other car always comes from Lemoyne. There, I could count probably three neighbors that disobey it out of all the people that have vehicles on the street, including our townhouses. There's only about three people that do it regularly.
Is there interest by the commission to propose some signage?
Well, I have a question for Jack. Can we put a do not enter sign up when it is not a one-way street?
Because of the way it's signed, it can be a do not enter because it already says no turning onto the street. So it technically, the way it's signed, you're not supposed to go there.
The volumes are very low. You know, 48 daily is not a big number. So I don't want to do a lot, but a do not enter sign is a pretty simple solution if it's allowed.
I can, and I will double check to see what we can do legally, obviously, given what is already by law, you know, there, you know, no turning onto the street. I think additional signage is something
that I could look at doing without having to obviously do any types of ordinances or rule changes or anything like that.
So, Jack, so Julie, I'm sorry, let me just mention and then go ahead, John.
You want me to go? Just one more idea.
Yeah, go ahead.
For Jack. Jack, you know, driving east on North Avenue, you see the bus sign, right? And the no right turn sign is not really a warning. It's kind of like a surprise because it's literally on the corner. I mean, it's right there. So if a bus is parked there or picking up passengers, you may not see it. And again, most of these people turning south on Franklin, they know what they're doing. They live in the neighborhood. They're going through. I get it. But we're trying to perhaps potentially eliminate traffic here. Is there an idea that you can come up with that we put another sign halfway down the block? So as people are thinking about, oh, I'm going to turn right here because I can see Lathrop just went red. So they actually see a sign before they're winging around a bus or they're coming up to Franklin itself. And then they see the sign and like, well, wait a minute, just like in the picture we're looking at, there's a car pointed south on Franklin. It's like, well, what do you mean we can't turn right? There's a car pointed south on Franklin as I look down Franklin. I thought it was there. Yeah, there's a car right there. Right there on the right. If you look over further, yeah, there's a car pointed south. Like, oh, well, okay.
Well, I'm hoping it's parked.
I'm going to go south too. It's not parked on the other side of the driveway. So anyway, my thought is another no right turn sign, maybe a little bit further west of the immediate corner in question.
Mm.
I mean, so you can leave that one there.
Well, and I was going to make that comment is I'd like to.
That one is two-sided.
I'd like to go out and, well, yeah, if it's two-sided, then it's showing the other side. Because I'd like to go out and look at whether or not it would have made sense. But to your point, if it's two-sided, then it's impacting that one. But I would have liked to see if I could just move that one closer up just so it's hitting you sooner.
Well, it's two-sided. I know.
It's two-sided. So
can you piggyback off the pace sign and add a one below that?
Or say no right turn below that so you can see it more clearly. The words no right turn. Then to be lower than the pace.
Well, you're there, or can you use the pace pole and add something below pace that says no right turn?
Probably an easement.
Well, I was going to say, I have never seen that, and that's typically because pace is the one who installs those signs. So,
yeah.
Well, I guess I'd defer to you. I mean, if you think that, you know, probably keeping that sign or especially if it's too, you know, sighted, but the request is to see if you might be able to beef up the signage as you're eastbound on North Avenue so you're not surprised by the no right turn onto Franklin, and then maybe add some kind of a do not enter. We copy our friends from Forest Park and get a similar sign, Elmwood Park, and get a similar sign as you enter, you know, at the top of Franklin showing a... You don't just
they come to a screeching halt and then they back up onto North Avenue.
So I will, as mentioned about the do not enter sign, I will check MUTCD just to make sure, you know, in terms of what we're trying to use it for, that we're using it properly. I, you know, maybe our neighbors used it, but maybe they didn't use it correctly. So I will check first. And then in terms of the do not, or no turn right sign, we'll see if we can move one more. There looks like obviously there's plenty of frontage here to do another one. That's not a big deal. But I do want to see if we could potentially put a little, you know, do not enter or something under the current one too.
So Julie, based on the data that Jack collected, I think the bottom line is that the speed and the volume, accidents, all that data doesn't support a barrier there. But what we're talking about is adding some additional signage to try to discourage people from turning down Franklin. And we could do that on a kind of an informal basis as a starting point. And then, you know, if you're seeing a big influx, or if you're seeing a problem, you know, you'd be welcome to asked to put this back on the agenda, we could talk about it again. But that's
kind okay.
That's where I see things going tonight, Julie.
There might be people. I know Carly was unfortunate she couldn't come, but I know she had some strong feelings and opinions and probably some valid comments that she would like to make. So maybe it might have to when she can attend. When you talk about the do not enter, that sounds like it might be a happy medium for now. But how about the traffic that's going west on North Avenue and turning left?
They have a sign there.
There is signage there. They shouldn't be doing that. And I don't know what more we can do to try to get people not to do it. Because you're right. I think we all think it's a pain in the neck for people to be turning left from North Avenue. They shouldn't be doing it.
Because if that's where there's going to be an accident on North Avenue, that's the one that causes it. Because we see a lot of that with the screeching and near misses, which they don't turn into any accidents. But it's because they're coming down westbound, you know, from North Avenue onto Frickland.
So one of the things, just to be clear on this do not enter, we're just double checking. Jack's going to double check to make sure that we can do that, because right now you can't turn left and you can't turn right. So it should be consistent. But the question on the table is whether we can do that when it's not a one-way street. So we're just double checking that. But it may be, Julie, that kind of signage helps bolster the message for people who might be thinking of turning left. You know, if there's already.
No, I think I think that would help. It would definitely help, because this isn't. They're not listening. And a lot of it, people just don't, they just don't care. You know?
That's true.
They're just coming down, they're racing. They don't even stop at Lemoyne. They just keep on going.
Yeah, and they treat stop signs the same way.
Yes. So
I think the recommendation would be, and I think is that we start with this signage. That's something we could do as an informal matter. You could let your colleagues up there know about this data, maybe have them look at this information that Jack collected. And if you or others up there want to revisit this, you know, we can put it back on the agenda.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate how the data did not pass for the suggested or the requested bump out, but you're looking for other options, which is appreciated. So I think everyone will feel good about that.
Well,
so hopefully this will work.
Yeah. Well, thank you and your friends up there for bringing this to our attention. And again, we'll try this as a starting point. And if there's a need to revisit it in the future, we're glad to do so.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Now, will that happen? Like, will I know, or is this just going to appear? Or if it's not allowed, is there a way to convey that?
So number one, I will look into it, but obviously the board, when we do have our next traffic safety commission meeting, I'm going to let you guys know what happened or what my background is, or, you know, what, after doing the research, whether or not it could be done. When is our next? I think it's in January. So January is our next formal traffic safety commission meeting. If you see the sign go up before that, that means obviously that I was able to see that it's okay to do. And
sure.
We will put that up as soon as we can. I do want to caution that Public Works has leaves. And then if it starts snowing a lot, that's another thing that might detract from the time to be able to put all this up.
That's understood. That's not a problem.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you very much, all of you. I hope you have a nice night. It's nice early evening, 9 o'clock, huh?
Yep. Okay, so a couple more quick items.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. One item is, Jack, why don't you take a minute or so and talk about some ideas about maybe ways staff could help when these issues come in. You might be able to communicate to people the matrix and the data, so that they might be able to consider whether this is worth their while, or they want to consider some of this information. And then we do need to get John to his birthday party.
I was going to say, did we want to take a vote on declining the request for the bump out?
Do we need to? If you would like us to, we can.
I would like to.
We should be consistent.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, can I get a...
We had a petition.
And yeah, since we had a petition.
Should we also move to put up a...
Well,
So why don't we do two motions again? Let's do one motion if somebody would make it to.
So motion to decline to the decline petition.
The petition, the bump out.
I'll make the motion to decline the petition for the bump out at Franklin near North Avenue.
Then I will second the motion. I'll second it. I tried to do first it, but you know, Rick got me. So I'll second it.
I'll second it. It's okay.
Take a vote.
Perfect. Okay.
We're giving that to Rick with a second to Kim.
You guys can arm wrestle later.
I'm going to get the next one.
All right. All right. So vote.
Vote. Chairman Reese.
Yes.
Commissioner Chase. Not here. Commissioner Gillis.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes. To decline.
Commissioner Carroll.
Yes.
And Commissioner Osga.
Yes. Yeah. Great. So Kim Hoyt, would you like to make a motion with respect to
a motion to signage? Consider adding a do not enter sign and better signage on the no right hand turn on the southwest corner of the intersection.
Do I have a second?
Maybe before the Pace bus sign.
Before the Pace bus sign.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Perfect. Chairman Reese.
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis.
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yes.
Commissioner Carroll.
Yes.
And Commissioner Osga.
Yes.
Perfect. That's that one. Okay. So as Chairman Reese mentioned, the final item is the discussion of procedure for staff fielding traffic requests. So one of the things that I know I've spoken to staff about and sort of kicked around is the idea that when some of these requests come in, rather than right away telling someone, yeah, go get your signatures, sort of go through the process of, hey, let me put up the traffic data collection device to sort of show you where you stand and go over this procedure or what we try to do, which is, you know, sort of database decisions. And if they still feel strongly or passionately that they want, you know, to be heard or go through that process, we can say, okay, you know, yes, here's the data. You are still more than welcome to go get your petition and your signatures. And then at that point, it will come to the Traffic Safety Commission. This way, at least, you know, for some requests that are, I would say, either very basic or something that's, I don't want to say out of left field, but something that's very, very substantial in terms of the change, we can collect the data, because sometimes, you know, as we hear often, is there might be a perception of a problem, but we want to actually collect the data and see what's going on before we, you know, jump on something and change something, or even have the petitioner go through the process of collecting all these signatures when we can collect the data and sort of show them right off the bat, this is where you stand, sort of. I guess, how does everyone feel about that?
I think it makes sense, because the only number that would change would be the community interest. So if they go out and they get 75%, then you get 10 more points. Everything else would be whatever.
And there's a little bit of vetting before it comes in front of the commission as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they have a little more knowledge, like you said, of the procedural.
The other thing I think we ought to work toward, and I don't know if this becomes a staff issue or who would prepare this, but or Thomas, but I do think we ought to figure out a way to get this matrix, at least the basic tool up on the website under the traffic and safety tab or something, so that people can see that we generally are applying this matrix, these levels, and, you know, the type of, you know, I think the sheet, the scoring matrix that shows how we collect points and the matrix, at least get those two things with maybe a very short explanation, I think would be really helpful, so that at least one, we could tell people what's up there. And if people are inclined to look at it, and I don't know, you know, Dave, sensitive to your comment, I'd probably say something like that we try to have our decisions informed, you know, by this approach or by this data. You know, it's not, I don't think any of us consider this a hard and fast.
It's a guideline.
It's a guideline. That's a good way to put it.
There's two other reasons I really like this, as long as the staff has a lot of time for it, is firstly, you have more interaction with the resident and you make them feel heard in a way that's kind of creating, without having to get all the signatures and come to us and make it a big formality, just to have them feel heard, I think is a great thing that we can do for our residents. And also, if they do the petition, or even if they don't and they come to us, we have the data right away. Mm-hmm. So we can make a decision much more quickly than meeting and then data and then data. So I think it adds a lot of benefits as long as your team has the resources to be doing that.
So
upon initial request.
And sort of that's why we did receive, and I am forgetting about the intersection right now as we are speaking. I did get another stop sign request. However, in this situation, the person wasn't very passionate right out the gate. But I did offer up right away, just because the traffic device was sitting in my office, wasn't being used. I did offer, hey, I'll put it up and see what's going on. And then the intention was, you know, hey, you can go to the, you know, but at that point, like I mentioned, the person or the resident that reached out wasn't very passionate right away. So I was able to sort of say like, hey, let me look at it for a little before we go through further steps.
Well, and so I think the combination of that, which is great, Jack, I think that's really helpful for all the reasons that you said and that Kim said, but also having some of this information posted, just like our discussion with Sean Herring, there are other interim steps that are listed here that maybe residents aren't really thinking about. And so they might be in the level one area, but there's some signage or some other, you know, more modest adjustments that maybe by them seeing that on the website, it gives them something to think about rather than immediately just going to a stop sign, which becomes the default request.
Yeah, these are great.
Love it.
Yep. Great ideas.
Good idea.
Yep.
So I guess I have one last thing. Somebody asked even before, I think we got mad at you guys or somebody for changing one of the time of our meeting. And I know Commissioner Chase, I think, likes to keep 7:30. Is there desire, any interest in we just keep 7:30? Is there an interest? I don't, moving up to 7 slightly earlier. I know historically this has always been 7:30. I will know that partly, you know, I know for me and others who were working downtown or are working downtown to be able to get home and get to a meeting, and for residents, the same thing. So I'm not necessarily advocating moving it, but I just wanted to put on the table whether there's interest in adjusting the start time at all. I don't know how it is for you guys. Do you stay
here? The earlier, the better.
Do you stay here all night?
And I do.
Go home?
Okay. For me, 7 o'clock would be fine. I mean, that's a half hour less, but for the folks coming from downtown.
I come from a block away.
Okay.
I guess maybe before we just did it, Jack, if you would maybe send an email.
Well, Chase
for our January meeting.
Chase is going to be in Florida for the next 6 months, right? Or no?
Well, she's been flying back for these meetings.
You've got to be kidding.
No.
God bless.
She is dedicated.
So maybe before the next one, because Arun wasn't. I think we're only missing Arun and Chase, right?
Yeah.
So, but maybe if you don't mind, before, when you guys send out the note, you or Bill, when you guys send out the note to see if people are available for a quorum, you know, to set up a quorum, why don't you ask if people are also
there? We'll do it earlier, because then we can change it for all of next year.
Yeah.
Do it now, since they're all out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to me, maybe 7 would be the earliest, just for, because there is still, and not just us, but people from the village.
Yeah, I mean, if we change it, the residents might actually, that might affect them more than it affects the 7, 8 of us, but
yeah. So,
and just, for those special nights, you know, we might get home by 10:30.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Speaking of,
okay. So I think we need a motion to adjourn so somebody can get to a special birthday.
I would like to make a motion to adjourn, please.
Okay. I would second that emotion.
A voice vote is fine.
Yes.
Yes.
Approved.
There we go.
In favor.
Thanks, everybody.